Welcome back to another episode of Sundays with Jeff Miller. Remember, we're going to be mostly talking about the NFL, and that means not for losers. This is where you come to get the information you need to make your fantasy football team successful. So don't forget, you can contact me at sundayswithjeffmiller@gmail.com with any questions you might have. Let the clock begin. We are back with another episode of Sundays with Jeff Miller, and today we're going to start out by talking about a few things that I think you should know. Just some things that came up over the course of the last week's games that I found to be interesting, and I'm going to start out with right away with the Miami Dolphins. They were the first team since 2003 to win on the road after trailing by 21-plus points entering the fourth quarter. Now, in the process of that, Tua Tagovailoa was the first player with four touchdowns in the fourth quarter of a road game since Joe Montana in 1989. Now, he was a really good fantasy quarterback, right? Also, they were the first team in NFL history, with Tua over 400 yards, and then Hill and Waddle being the first pair of teammates in NFL history with 10 receptions plus 150 receiving yards plus and two receiving touchdowns in the same game. So that's just a huge accomplishment. And I think most of that took place in the fourth quarter, right? So if you had any one of those three teams on your roster, congratulations. And hopefully you played all three of them, right? NFL teams have won 2,229 straight games when leading by at least 13 points in the final 2 minutes of a game. Cleveland, the pound, the dogs, gave up 13 points in the final 1 minute and 21 seconds to the Jets, losing 31-30. That streak no longer exists, and we have to start over at zero again. 2,229 consecutive games. Russell Wilson, interesting topic. Russell Wilson completes 45.2 completion percentage with a 66.5 passer rating. It's his lowest completion percentage in a win with 30-plus passes in his career. That is horrible. And I'm telling you, I just expected so much more from Denver. I mean, they have playmakers, and I'm not really sure what's going on. But again, Nathaniel Hackett struggled with getting plays in and delay of games, and we talked about that the other day, and I think I'm just going to move on from Denver, right? Move on from Denver. How about Amon-Ra St. Brown? We have to talk about him. 50-plus receiving yards and one or more TDs in six straight games, including last season. So the conclusion of last season. This is the longest streak by a Detroit Lion player in the Super Bowl era. And it ties the all-time mark with eight straight games with eight or more catches. He also tied that mark. So the Sun God is delivering in fantasy football. Here are three players. Jonathan Taylor, 7.3 PPR points. Nine rushes, 54 yards, one catch for 9 yards. Devontae Adams, 9.2 PPR points, only two catches, 12 yards, and one TD. And the one catch for the touchdown was like right at, I think it was on the first drive of the game. And then Saquon Barkley, 11.8 PPR points, 21 rushes, 72 yards, three catches, 16. The 21 rushes is a nice number for Barkley, but three players who definitely disappointed us this week for our fantasy football teams. And how about Arthur Smith? Arthur Smith, he coaches Atlanta, in case you're curious. Arthur Smith comes out and says that Kyle Pitts' lack of targets is not fantasy football. We're just trying to win games. It's not about fantasy football. We're just trying to win games. Kyle Pitts, four catches on and 38 yards so far for the season. He's a buy low. Kyle Pitts is a buy low. Him and Russell Wilson, you can go get if you have any trust at all that they will bounce back. Trey Lance, the other guy, breaks his ankle. It's Jimmy G time. Jimmy G is going to take over in San Francisco, and then he's going to move on at the end of the year. So San Francisco will be stuck with the superstar, Trey Lance. Chris Olave in week two. I found this to be an interesting amount of facts. Route participation was 84%. His target share was 34%. His average depth of target, 26.1 yards. His air yards was 65%. 65%, 365 air yards. His yards per route were 1.95, and only 43% of his targets were catchable, according to the NFL. There are good things ahead for Chris Olave, for sure. Week one, we had 2022, we had 673 total fantasy points. In week one for 2021, 768. So if you were curious why week one was such a disaster, I haven't got the updated stats on that for week two, but I will be passing that along, although I know they were still down going into Monday night's games. Offenses to watch: Chicago, Houston, Seattle, Carolina, and New York. Some say both New York. I don't know if we're supposed to watch them or we're not supposed to watch them, or if we have players if we're supposed to play them or we're not supposed to play them. How about our player comparison? I have a player comparison for you because I've had this question asked by a few people on my Twitter account. So, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, who are you favoring in here? Now, Miami passed the ball 50 times this week. Chase Edmonds, over the first 2 weeks, has a 57% snap percentage to Raheem Mostert's 48%. Edmonds has ran 24 routes, Mostert 25, go figure. Edmonds, 17 rushes, 58 yards. Mostert, 16 rushes, 67 yards. And then Chase Edmonds has 5 catches, 7 targets for 48 yards, 15.6 fantasy points in 2 weeks. And then Mostert, 4 catches, 4 targets, 44 yards, and 15.1 fantasy points over 2 weeks. I got to tell you, I'm not favoring either one of these guys and would probably try to dig myself out from underneath both of them if I have them on my roster. So I'm not in favor of either one. But, I mean, if you look at the hardcore numbers, you got to stick with Chase Edmonds here at least for a couple more weeks. How about my top five flex players? Top five flex players that you should be going out and getting this week. Took a little bit more of an in-depth look at some of these players. My number one is Noah Brown, the wide receiver for Dallas. He's going to be playing Washington this week, averaging 15.9 fantasy points per game with an 87% snap share, 10 catches, 14 targets, 159 yards, and a touchdown to go along with that. So that's 7 targets and 5 catches per game. And 80 yards. So that's a pretty good base number. Whether you throw the touchdown in there or not, if he gets a touchdown or two, it's even better. Now, I wanted to compare him to CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb has a 96% snap share, 22 targets, but only 9 catches, okay, for 104 yards. So Noah Brown has more catches, more yards, less targets, so he's more efficient. And CeeDee Lamb also hasn't got his first touchdown yet, averaging only 10 fantasy points per game. So I'm not saying that you're going to bench CeeDee Lamb, but I am saying that you might want to consider Noah Brown for your roster and a possible start this week versus Washington's defense. How about Corey Davis, the wide receiver for the New York Jets? He is going to be at Pittsburgh this week, 74% snap percentage. He has 8 catches, 14 targets, a good number, 160 yards, 1 TD, and he's averaging 27 yards per catch. That's 15 fantasy points per game. Playing at Pittsburgh, it's a little tougher matchup, but Corey Davis is definitely on my radar as a flex player for my fantasy rosters. Here's a name we didn't even hear this year in the preseason: Greg Dortch, wide receiver for Arizona. Will be playing the Rams this week, kind of a tough matchup. 81% snap share, 11 catches, 13 targets, 118 yards, 11.5 yards per catch, 1 TD. Yes, when Moore comes back, he's a similar player in stature, similar player, but I just can't believe that they're going to just drop him and not use him. He's been pretty effective in this offense, and you still got Hopkins out for the first 6 weeks of the season. My next player is Jacoby Meyer, wide receiver for New England, versus Baltimore this week. The reason he's number four is that versus Baltimore. The reason Dortch is number three is that versus LA Rams, by the way. 14.3 fantasy points per game, 85% snap share, 19 targets, 13 catches, 150 yards. He's averaging 12 yards per catch, and he has not caught a touchdown yet. But Jacoby Myers is available in many leagues, somebody else I would be taking a look at. And then this player, my last player, is somebody that I struggle with a little bit because the percentage of snaps aren't where I want them to be. But Devin Duvernay, wide receiver in Baltimore, 53% snap share. If you're comparing him to Bateman, Bateman has 63%, which for a receiver, neither one of those numbers is great, right? Neither one. Duvernay has six catches, six targets, 96 yards, which is 17 yards per catch, which is considerably similar to Bateman. Bateman only has six catches, 12 targets, 167 yards. He's averaging 28 yards per catch to Duvernay, 17 yards per catch. He also has two TDs, but they're both averaging 16.8 fantasy points per game. Now, the one thing that I like about Duvernay is he is involved in this team. He's going to be a valuable asset going forward. He also has a kick return for 103 yards and a touchdown. So that is somebody I think you should be taking a look at for your fantasy roster, playing at New England this week, a tough defense. There are another questions that I, there's a question I get recently, and I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, I think it's a valuable part. I think that sometimes we sell kickers and defenses too low. Now, I understand drafting them low, but I don't understand sitting on them when they're not productive. So here's my thing. I was asked some defenses that I could grab off the waiver wire. I've noticed some of these teams are available, not in all leagues, but they're three teams that I would check because they're not even considered to be at the top of the chart. They're kind of in the middle of the pack, but I think they're three defenses with great potential. Denver Broncos is number one, and this week they're going to play San Francisco, and then they're at Las Vegas, and then Indianapolis at home. Points against versus Seattle. In Seattle, they gave up 17 points, and then Houston, they gave up 9. They have 5 sacks on the season, 5 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. They've given up 487 total yards, which is only 243 yards per game. Denver Broncos, I would definitely consider them. The other team I have is Dallas Cowboys. Yes, they are available in some leagues, believe it or not. They have given up Tampa Bay 19 points, Cincinnati 17. They're going to be at the New York Giants this week, then Washington, and then at the LA Rams. 8 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 interception. They're giving up 300 yards per game. Not a lot, but they're tough. They're tough in the red zone. And then the Philadelphia Eagles we watched on Monday night, the tail of two horses. That's what I'm going to call this defense for sure. Points against at Detroit, they gave up 35, and then they played Minnesota and give up 7. And interestingly enough, Detroit and Minnesota play each other this week. I think that's going to be an interesting contest from a fantasy perspective for a lot of us. 3 sacks total, 1 forced fumble, 4 interceptions, 1 TD, and then they're giving up the most yardage of my three teams, 325 yards per game, but at Washington, Jacksonville, and at Arizona. So don't give up on those positions, your defenses and your kickers. I can tell you that in the first 2 weeks of both of my leagues, I'm 1-1 in each league, so 2-2. I think I'm the second highest scorer in both leagues combined. So I've put up a fair amount of fantasy points, but the games I've lost have come down to, honestly, I can really, my kicker and my defense being outscored by the kicker and defense on the other team. Everything else becomes a wash, and you lose by 5 points in one league, one game, and 1 points in the other, and it comes down to the difference between the kicker and the defense. So if you're weak, go make a move on those areas and improve your fantasy football team. Over 40 club for this week. Really interesting. So last week, week one, we had one player, Patrick Mahomes, with 44.9 fantasy points. We all remember that performance. Well, he was outdone this week by two guys and darn near by a third one. So last week we had one player over 40, seven over 30, and 18 over 25. This week we had five players over 40, 16 over 30, and 22 players over 25 fantasy points. And if you were able to have a multiple of those, you probably won your league's fantasy football game. But number one this week, Tua Tagovailoa, who will be playing on everybody's roster for the moving forward. I'm sure of it. 52.9 fantasy points, 36 completions, 50 passes, 469 yards, 6 TDs, 2 interceptions, and 1 rush for 1 yard. Tua is now the leader in the clubhouse for most fantasy points in our over 40 club for the season, and closely followed by a player in the same game, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for Baltimore, 48.6 fantasy points. Nothing to sneeze at. But in both instances, did he lose? Did he lose in your fantasy league? I would be interested to know that. 21 catches, completions, 29 attempts, 318 yards, 3 TDs. He ran the ball 9 times for 119 yards and 1 TD. Now, I decided for a quick moment, I just wanted to compare that to last year. So in 21 versus 22 in passing, he's had 37 completions last year, 38 this year. Last year, he threw 56 passes, this year, 59. Last year, 474 yards, this year, 531. Last year, 2 TDs and 2 interceptions, this year, 6 TDs and 1 interception. And then in rushing, last year, he ran the ball 28 times in week 1 and 2 for 193 yards, 2 TDs. This year, only 15 times, but 136 yards and 1 TD. Really interesting to me. Kind of looks like the same player, but fantasy-wise, he's doing much better this year than last year. Congratulations if you have Lamar Jackson on your fantasy roster. Now on to number three. Just missing the number one total from Patrick Mahomes last week at 44.9 with Stephon Diggs with 44.8 fantasy points. 12 catches, 14 targets, 148 yards, 3 TDs, and 12.3 yards per catch. Stephon Diggs looks like a different player this year. And I'm not really sure why. I would have thought in this game with Gabe Davis being out and the other guy, Isaiah McKenzie and Crowder, not really being utilized, which really shocks me because that's all we heard about during the preseason was those two guys being, that number two or number three player and possibly Gabe Davis not being number two and blah, 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 blah. And then in comes this game, some guy named Kumaro. I don't know where he came from. He ends up being WR2 in the game, and Crowder and McKenzie take a backseat to him. I'm not sure what's going on, but I will tell you this. Buffalo is scoring a lot of fantasy points, especially Josh Allen and especially Stephon Diggs. Congratulations if you have those guys on your roster. And then down to Tyreek Hill with 42 points, 11 catches, 13 targets, 190 yards, 17.3 yards per catch, 2 TDs, and his teammate Jaylen Waddle, 40.1 fantasy points, 11 catches, 19 targets, 171 yards, 15.6 yards per catch, and 2 TDs. Also, you will definitely have all those Miami players in your roster this week. And just a brief mention, for those of you who benched Gesicki, he ended up getting a touchdown too. Couldn't help but notice that. Thought I would share. All right, so that's it. I'll be back with my start sits for the week. And yes, I will get that out to you this week. I promise there's not going to be a delay in that. And I'll let you know if there's any trade prospects out there looming that maybe you should want to take a look at before the week starts. So remember, it's only fair if you share. That's it for today. Bye.